Hello, St. Louis. Eddie McVeigh here, reminding all of you that Maggie O'Brien's is looking forward to seeing you next time you are downtown. We are open 7 days a week for lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night. Don't forget our banquet room holds over 200. And as always, Maggie O'Brien's is still the place to go before and after concerts and blues and cards games. My brother and I are St. Louis boys, born and raised, and honestly appreciate your business. Maggie O'Brien's at the corner of Market and 20th Street downtown. Union Station is next us.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Man, as we went, it's sick today. Oh, wow.
Doug, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Bud Light. I am looking forward to it. I didn't really get intoxicated down in Miami, which is kind of weird. Had some good meals.
It sounds like you had some good meals, but didn't get intoxicated.
Did you have some ceviche?
Did you go to Joe's Stone Crab?
No, went to Nobu on Sattersby.
I went to Nobu this weekend, too.
Which one, the Hard Rock or Caesars?
The one in Caesars.
One in Caesars.
So what's a dinner there cost?
It's on what you want, baby. It can be expensive. It can be super expensive.
We just bought a bunch of different items and kind of sampled all the different things you have there.
We just pwned up at the bar there at now the Eden Rock, which is in more like North Miami Beach. They moved from the Shore Club. And I didn't even know that, so I got out of my Uber, and I'm like, oh, you took us to the wrong place. Brah. That's what I said. I said,
did you really? Place.
Brah.
Put him in his place, but he didn't understand a word
exactly.
You were
no,
saying.
I'm not
anyway.
So it didn't right. matter. So I'm sitting there, I'm MFing him. Because, you know, I do AM radio in the 21st market in the country, okay? So I'm a little bit bigger than most people in Miami Beach that night.
I would think so. Well,
and
except for Brad Ausmus.
Right. Yeah, I don't know if he got there until Sunday, and we crossed paths Monday. But he said they moved, kind of looking at me like, go back to the Midwest, punk.
Ugh.
And then I look at him like, oh, they did move.
Say goodbye to your tip.
Sorry. Well, you don't tip on Uber, but I said, sorry. Have a good evening.
You don't have to tip at all on Uber?
No, because the drivers collect 80% of the fare.
But you can tip.
You can tip.
In cash.
Cash money comes in large. It's so great. But anyway, yeah, so we watched Syracuse at North Carolina hit the war.
Okay.
Give me
sushi. Pasta, because it was.
Took stupid Snapchats and Facebook pictures. It's really mature. I'm going to be 40 at $5. Mm-hmm.
Roy Williams.
Crying. That was your Saturday night.
My Saturday. And then we went to the Yardbird in Miami on a Sunday. And I highly recommend that. Chicky Bisky. Listen, Jesus Ortiz is new to St. Louis. We want to impress him. He's a Post-Dispatch columnist. We want him to think we do a good show. And so doing the Dick Vitale impression during talk of Nobu and Yardbird and Charlie with Steve Aoki is just...
Shouldn't have done it.
Stupid. I disagree. I think that's the best part of the show, actually.
Dick Vitale impressions.
In general, yes.
Okay, all right.
He's talking about the Tonobi.
Doug, joining us right now for the very first time here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It is our pleasure to welcome Jesus Ortiz to the Ryan Kelly Morning After and to St. Louis. Good morning, Jesus.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Hi. Welcome to town. You took in your first Blues game on Monday night, correct?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
The Blues game and then a Missouri event yesterday, am I right?
Yeah, I did the tour of Columbia. It's a nice little short drive.
Yeah, about 2 hours down I-70. Not too bad at all. So you're coming from Houston, but you are a big baseball guy and then also a big soccer fan is what my understanding is.
Yes. I've covered Major League Baseball most of my career. Baseball's my love. Soccer's my passion. It's, you know, I'm probably at a soccer field probably 70% of the time when I'm not working with my kids. I have three girls, and they're big soccer players and softball players, so I'm at one sporting event or another, either working or at my kids' events.
Very nice. So you covered the Astros. How many years did you cover the Astros? What year did you cover the Astros?
15. 15. I got there in 2001 from New York. I used to cover the Mets for the Star Ledger, and so I covered the Astros since 2001. Took a little two and a half year hiatus to write sports features and a lot of soccer. In 2010, I really wanted to go to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So I did soccer a lot that year, and it turns out they didn't have the budget to send me to South Africa. So that wasn't very fun. But and then I went back on baseball in 2012, late 2012. So I've pretty much done baseball the last two decades, whether in Los Angeles, Florida, New York, or Houston.
So I would imagine some of the best baseball games that you covered are also some of the best baseball games that we covered, except we were covering them from the Cardinal perspective. You were covering it from the Astro perspective with that 2004 and 2005 back-to-back NLCS.
Yeah, exactly. I still remember that 3-2 slider to Jim Edmonds in game six of the NLCS, the night that Roy Oswalt turned off the lights at Old Busch Stadium.
Mm.
And then there was this home run in Houston that I think some people remember.
Mm-hmm. What was that like covering that from the Astros' perspective? I mean, in St. Louis, it was one of the greatest moments, and it still is. If they would have won the series, I think it would have higher value. Unfortunately, we've been so lucky around here the last decade with how good the team has been. But in Houston, I mean, the thing that anytime I ask any Cardinal player who was on that team about that, and you were there covering it, how loud Minute Maid Park was, and then how instantaneously silent it was. I think Edmonds said he could hear his spikes hitting the dirt as he rounded the bases after that home run.
Yeah, exactly. It was the loudest silence I've ever heard in my life. And I purposely say it that way because, you know, it's Minute Maid Park with the roof closed is the loudest stadium I've ever been in. And the place was rocking. I mean, it was literally 50 years after the Astros had been awarded the franchise. And so we were already, you know, we were, man, I had my story ready. And then Brad Lidge, who people forget, dominated the Cardinals, dominated Pujols. And then all of a sudden, it was Eckstein that had that little single, and then you start thinking, surely I don't have to rewrite this. And then, you know, and this was right at the start of all, you know, putting all our stuff online, so had to have a story ready to go. So I had this great story on how the Astros had finally reached their first World Series, and then he hits that monster, and suddenly, you know, people are on their feet, loud as hell, and all you hear is Pujols rounding the bases, and you're looking, and as a journalist, you want to appreciate the moment, and you want to capture it for your readers, but you're also hauling ass trying to write it, and it was crazy, and you have to understand the Houston sports history. You know, this is the city that saw the Bills pull off that magical comeback against the Oilers, Choke City with the Rockets before they actually came back and won those championships. So there's Houston sports history is more about letdowns than triumph. So everybody in Houston thought, okay, this is over. They're not going to make the World Series, because if you remember the previous year, Jeff Kent hit that walk-off.
Yep.
To win Game 5 and put them one game away from the World Series, and they lost both games in St. Louis. And I tell you, everybody was nervous. The next day, Drayden McClain, the then owner of the Astros, called me, and we were talking about it, and he just said, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen? And my daughter, who's all of two years old, I said, Drayden, don't worry about it. I said, let me tell you what, and I put Kathleen, my two-year-old daughter, on the phone, and she said, Roy wins. And that's all she said.
Hmm.
Roy wins. And for some reason, she had gotten they had given away a Roy Oswalt doll, a little rag doll, and she carried it. It was her comfort toy. And so I would tell her, you know, that's Royals show on TV, or said Royals while Roy wins. And, you know, he won 20 games. And sure enough, Roy, it was the perfect guy to have on the mound that day, because he didn't care. You know, this is a kid from Mississippi who had overcome all these odds. You know, he's 5'11", pitcher overlooked, and he was just the hoss that day. And, you know, as you probably well remember, NLCS MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But that 3-2 slider to Edmonds was, in my opinion, the most crucial pitch of the series, because Pujols was up next. So if Edmonds had walked, it would have loaded the bases for Pujols early on, and Edmonds crushed Oswalt, had great numbers against Oswalt, and he was the one guy who Oswalt couldn't fool with his curveball. He saw that curveball well. And that was, you know, his fastball, curveball, those were his top two pitches. And he rarely ever used a slider. And for when I'm seeing this slider come up, I'm thinking, holy smokes. And sure enough, Edmonds didn't expect that pitch, and he took it. And it was a called third strike. Everybody goes back to the dugouts, and Pujols doesn't get the bases loaded. If Pujols gets the bases loaded, who knows what happens if Pujols gets the bases loaded. But, yeah, I'll never forget that day. You know, a memory that I'll also never forget from Old Busch Stadium that seems kind of funny now. I was the guy that took the call from Lance Berkman, you know, the eventual hero of the, what was it, 2010 World Series?
2011 World Series, yeah.
Yeah, and if you guys remember, in 2001, they finished tied.
Yep.
But the Astros claimed the division crown, and so did the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And we get here for the first trip. And this is the time where none of us carried cell phones, or the ballplayers didn't have our cell phones. But I get a call in the press box from Lance Berkman from the dugout. So he took the dugout phone, called the press box, asked for me. So I go pick up the phone. And Lance says, look at the outfield wall. And I forget which wall it was, if it was right field or left field. He goes, what do you see? And I'm looking. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, look closer. He goes, they're trying to claim the division. And it was so funny, because the Astros were so put off by that. And Berkman was quite outspoken in a funny, positive, you know, tease you sort of way. And, you know, if it had been the Twitter days, it would have been amazing, you know. You know, Berkman rips on the Cardinals, but I'll never forget that. But, yeah, 2001, all those, 2001, 4, 5, those were amazing times for both franchises. Obviously, the Cardinals have been great throughout, and the Astros took a 9-year, you know, skid. But the Astros are amazing now, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros reached the World Series this year.
Wow. So what was the attraction for coming back to St. Louis for you, losing our football team and then your team in Houston getting better? Why did you want to come here?
Well, first of all, it's a great career opportunity. And second of all, it's for a guy of my skill set, the things that I'm most confident in, my abilities, I don't think there could not be a better column job. I love baseball. I cannot tell you how much I care about soccer. So you combine those two. You know, I'm coming from a football town. I like football, but I'll be honest with you, I don't think football should be more important than baseball. That's, you know, when I was lured from New York to Houston, the Astros beat was the main beat. Like, that was the beat at the Houston Chronicle. Well, then they get the Texans, and, you know, Texas being Texas, suddenly, you know, that wasn't the main beat. So they don't care about, you know, being an Astros beat writer in Houston is sort of like being a Mets beat writer in New York, in that no matter what the Mets do, the Yankees screwing up is almost always bigger news than the Mets doing well. Well, in Houston, the Texans are, you know, that's what people talk about. That's what people want to talk about. Well, here in St. Louis, this is one of the greatest baseball towns in America. You know, I would argue that for a person of my skill set, New York, Boston, and St. Louis are the three best places to work and write columns. So that's why this was such an attractive job for me, because this is a baseball town. I went to the Tiger Club meeting of St. Louis mm-hmm. yesterday before I drove down to Columbia, and I'll do this often as I meet people. I asked, a gentleman approached me to congratulate me on the job and welcome me to St. Louis, and we started talking, and he said, you know, good luck. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, what advice would you give me so that I could shine in this city? And then he looked at me, and he was sort of surprised, and he was hesitant to offer advice. I said, no, I sincerely ask you, what would you recommend I do? And then he said, you can't go wrong with the Cardinals. And I smiled, because that's the sport I know best. Mm-hmm. That's the sport, you know, I was president of the Baseball Writers Association of America last year. You know, I've written a book on baseball, the Astros in particular. That's, you know, I voted for the Hall of Fame for the last 10 years. That is my wheelhouse, to use a tired cliche. And secondly, although St. Louis doesn't have an MLS club, St. Louis is one of historically great soccer cities in America. As fate would have it, my oldest daughter plays on the Challenge 04. Challenge is the big girls, all-girls soccer club in Houston, and she plays on their top team for her age group, and it's a city team. Challenge has all these community teams, but she plays in the top team from throughout the city. And as fate would have it, Scott Gallagher came out to visit to play us in a showcase. And I reached out, so they've already seen her play, and she's hoping to play for their top team here. So when you combine professionally and personally, this is a perfect fit. And I hope MLS comes to St. Louis, because I think it's a perfect market. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I like the NFL. I grew up, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I love baseball. I truly love baseball. I love being at the park. I can't wait to get to the park to get to know the guys and build on my connection of, you know, two decades worth of sources. You know, I've already reached, you know, the manager of the Astros, A.J. Hinch, is going to reach out to Mike Matheny and kind of let him know what I'm about. I think I have a pretty good reputation in baseball circles. Woody Williams and I consider Woody a friend. So I know he has a relationship here with Matheny. And I can't wait for these guys to come home and for me to start trying to tell stories. I'm fully bilingual. I speak Spanish. My parents are from Mexico. They made it a big point to make sure that we learn Spanish. So when I walk in a clubhouse, you know, I could speak to everybody there in their native languages. Although I don't, you know, I don't know Japanese. I don't know Korean. So I'll be, you know, but for the most part in Major League Baseball, I can speak to, you know, 96% of the people in their native language, and that served me well. Jose Cruz of the Astros, became ultimately, after he left coaching, became a great friend of mine. Yes, I will have Jose Cruz call Jose Oquendo.
Nice.
And I know he's taking a leave. You know what I'm saying? So I can't wait. So to give you a long, long answer to a very simple question, I think this is the perfect place for me to become a columnist, because it has, you know, it fits my skill set. I mean, if, you know, I've covered some NFL, I would help out. My wife used to cover the Texans, actually. So I would help out on Sundays. And so, I know football. I know it well enough that I think I could do a good job. And I will be, my biggest trait, the one that I take the most pride in, is that I'm a hard worker. I hate lazy columnists. I hate growing up as a reader and then as a professional, I always respected the guys who didn't just preach but went to the clubhouse. You ask Craig Biggio and he'll tell you, like, yes, I take great pride in the features I wrote about Craig Biggio when he went to the Hall of Fame, and, you know, I'd put those against anybody, but I think if you ask Craig Biggio, he'd also tell you that nobody in the city of Houston ever called him out in a professional way in print like me. You know, I'm going to call it the way I see it, but I'm going to show up the next day at the clubhouse to be able to, you know, if one of them wants to say, hey, Jesus, screw you, that was wrong, we're going to talk about it. You know, I'm so excited about the Blues. I cannot tell you how excited I am about the Blues. I've been studying about them almost from the time I accepted the job. I've been studying about their history. Studying about, you know, my wife's best friend's husband is a big New Jersey Devils fan who, like, knows everything about hockey. So I've been picking his brain. And, you know, I want to learn about the Blues, and I will work my butt off to write knowledgeable columns on hockey. I want to get in the community. I'm still trying to figure out something that's distinctly mine for online that we could do once a week or maybe, twice a month, where I go and I'm leaning towards, you know, kind of to play off Faces of New York. I don't know if you're aware of that photographer who, and I might even be naming it wrong, but who goes out in the city of New York and just interviews people. So I want to do something similar to that, in that I go out in the community and write about people, sports figures in the community that maybe they're not somebody that we'd write a column about for the paper, but have fascinating stories about sports. So, yeah, I promise you, I mean, nobody here will ever complain about my work ethic. I will work my butt off. I'm very anal, as my wife and kids will tell you. So, you know, I'll be at the ballpark a lot. I'll be at the ballpark when I'm working. I'll be at the ballpark when I'm not. And that's what I did. There were a couple years in Houston where I was the lone beat writer. For much of that time, I had a backup from 2001 through 2009. But for two of those years, I didn't have anybody, and I would still go to the ballpark. And it was a tradition that I kept even in 2002 and 2003 when I had no backup. It was just me solo. On the few days that I had off, I would go to the ballpark and take, you know, my wife and I would go. We have children then, and people would see me at the ballpark, and they say, "What the hell are you doing here?" And I said, "You know, I want to remind myself why I love this." And sometimes when we're working so much, we forget that sports are fun. You know, I'm sure you guys get it yourselves. You know, right? It's our job so much we forget. So I promise you, I'll be at the ballpark on my days off with my kids. My kids are big Astros fans, and so it's going to take a while before they accept the St. Louis teams. But the Blues are all theirs. They don't have a hockey team,
right?
So they're going to be all in. But
Do we lose Jesus?
I'm sorry. No, I'm here. Right. I just figured I might let you guys ask a question.
No.
After a while, I'm thinking, man, I sure am talking a lot.
No.
It's fine. So your debut column is on Sunday, correct?
Yes. It's my introductory column. I'm still trying to. I've been thinking about it for a while. I'm still trying to. I want to introduce myself. I tell you. The first one, I will introduce myself, but I probably can guarantee you that I'm not going to be one of those columnists who's going to write a lot about himself. That I, you won't see that. I want to tell stories. I want to give opinions, but that probably be the one column that I write where I say a little bit about myself. I have history with this town, and special history with this town. I have family here. My brother-in-law lives here. My wife's from Iowa. So, you know, I know probably more than any city that I've not lived in, I know I have a lot of knowledge about St. Louis. But I, you know, Lindsay Berra, Yogi Berra's granddaughter. Man, I saw her a couple weeks ago in spring training, and I picked her brain for about an hour about St. Louis. And you know, as a beat writer, the thing that I took the most pride in was taking readers where they cannot go. So that, I think that'll be a big staple of my columns, in that I'll try to take readers where they're not. And I think the fact that I'm bilingual helped me in that way. I can already tell you that St. Louis fans are not always going to be happy. I'm probably more like Joe Strauss than anybody else I've met on the before or after on the on the Post Dispatch staff. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what was his line about this isn't Candyland or something like that?
Not Candyland. Best fans in baseball. Hashtag Hooterville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think I'm trying to figure out a way to pay respect to Joe in a column by using one of his lines. So I'm working on that. I don't know if I'll be able to fit it in, but, you know, Joe, you know, rest his soul, was somebody I respected. And... you know, I will point out when things aren't bad. You know, my pet peeve is drunk driving. I was almost killed by a drunk driver when I was 13. I think it's the stupidest, most evil crime that we can commit, because it's so self-inflicted. You know, Uber, cabs, do something. So, you know, I... Tony La Russa used to talk to me, used to be great with me, and I think we're still cool, but after he got arrested for his DUI, I crushed him pretty bad in Houston, and he stopped talking to me for about a few years, and I take great pride in that, because I think the job as a columnist is to, you know, express your opinion, take stands, and I will, you know, that's drunk driving is probably the one thing that pisses me off more than anything, because it's personal. I deal with it to this day. I still have the physical scars. So that's, you know, I'm not going to try to preach, but I will. I'm not going to be a cheerleader. I'm not funny. My wife will tell you that. My kids tell me that all the time. So I can't do humor. I'm a little bit serious, but I also realize that this isn't life and death. Mm-hmm. You won't, you know, I read a column, I won't name where, because I read a column from another city, not in St. Louis, where they put life and death in an NCAA Final Four column. I think that's the most ridiculous thing. You know, I won't call these games battles. It's entertainment. These guys are entertainers. I'm, you know, So I don't know. What advice would, I've been asking everybody I've met here, what advice would you guys give me?
Doug, you've been in the market for a number of years. What advice would you give? That's a
Doug,
good question.
Doug has the best skill set.
My advice for everyone in the business is to get out of the business and get a real job. that's just me.
Well, and I tell you, what, I grew up inner city, L.A., poor. I hear that, and I cannot believe it because I'm so grateful to be in this business. My parents work for a dang living. And they've worked crappy jobs, construction. I take so much pride, and my wife thinks it's goofy, but I have the softest hands of any man in my family. I will never get out of this business on my own. I love it. I'm grateful to work at it. People pay us to go give our opinions and to go watch stuff that people pay to watch. So I never, that advice, I always cringe when we give it to people. And I realize people come from different circumstances. If your parents are lawyers or but I tell you, man, I grew up poor. I grew up, inner city. Suge Knight is a friend of the friends of the family. Okay. Death Row Records.
Right. Absolutely.
I was born in Compton. So, no, I'm grateful to have this. This is a cushy job. So, no, that advice I'll never take, get out of the business, because I think this is a great business. I mean, where else can people pay us to talk about sports? How many people don't we know do this for free?
Some people on this station.
Do it for nothing.
Yeah, or actually cut a check.
Well, I'm not going to comment. Okay, I can't comment on what the pay scale is over there at your station. But my parents, I swear my dad would so chew me out if I complained about my job and my pay. Because, my brothers work construction and, like I said, I always tease them. I have the softest skin and hands in the family. Like, My brothers in the very sexist way, like, say, are those really man's hands? So, no.
We say the same thing about Doug.
Yeah.
<Here.
laughs> So yeah, and I tell you, another thing, like, I love girls' sports. I have three daughters. I'm a big supporter of that, and I think they're great stories that we tend to miss because they're girls in sport. And so I'll try to tell stories from the eyes of a father of three girls. So I don't know. No, but seriously, what advice, what advice would you each of you give me?
Well, I'll tell you, the market's passionate about baseball, Jesus. There's no question about that. It doesn't matter if it's December, January. If you talk about Cardinal baseball here, our text inbox will blow up like it's blowing up right now. I mean, you get so many people responding anytime you talk Cardinal baseball. You just can never go wrong in St. Louis,
So are they sensitive fans? Like, I had a joke on Twitter, like, is it too early to call them the Cardinals with a K? Are they sensitive Cardinals
Doug,
fans?
Doug. Yeah, 27 Ks through two.
They would not like that. They would not like that, I don't think.
I would do it still, though.
Yeah, but every once in a while, you have to poke the bear, right?
That's absolutely. Right.
If you're going to pay homage to Strauss, that's absolutely part of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now, and I tell you, I everywhere I've gone, people have said you can't, Cardinals. But I think, how's the community dealing with the loss of the Rams? And I tell you, like, I'm from L.A. I took pride when L.A. told the Rams to go fly a kite. I honestly took pride because I think there are bigger issues. There were bigger issues in L.A. And now if you look at it, like, the Rams come back and they're building the stadium. And I think I think guys like Kroenke, how do you pronounce his last name?
Kroenke.
I think guys like that, I would never let them take our community hostage, and he has, build your own dang stadium. And that's what LA's making them do. And you know what? St. Louis, got played by him, and they lost their football team. But you know what? I would have, if I were here writing about that, I would not have cried on my in my Cheerios over it, because you have to take a stand. We've been building these stadiums for all these billionaires for way too long, and you know, and there's an argument that it brings civic pride and all that, but let's be honest, how much civic pride did the Rams bring them compared to the Cardinals?
Oh, it's nothing. Yeah, it was nothing. It was a great source of frustration for really the last decade on the field, but really the last 5 years, people were so angry with the way that Stan Kroenke and the organization was treating him that there became a sense of apathy. And it was a foregone conclusion, many felt, on January 12th in Houston, actually, Jesus, where you were based out of, that it was going to happen, unfortunately. I think at this moment people have moved past it. But I'm curious what it'll feel like in September when week one kicks off and you see a game in the L.A. Coliseum and you see the guys that you saw here just a few months ago playing out there, you know?
Yeah, so when they lose in L.A., or, you know, they're going to lose either way. The front office hasn't been very strong. You know, I read all the coverage. And, you know, I don't know. You know, the Cardinals will be getting ready for their pennant stretch, and then they'll go to the playoffs in October, and you know, people forget, you know, and I realize the NFL has, you know, owns the day of the week here in America, and like I said, I'm born and raised a Cowboys fan, but it's one day a week of, you know, I our NFL writer in Houston, John McClain, is one of the legends of football writing. My wife covered the Texans. I get it. I think it's great. But I'm a baseball guy, so I'm not going to miss the Rams. And I love soccer, and hopefully MLS comes here. And I think the Blues, I tell you, I've not covered hockey since the 2006 Olympics in Torino, Italy. But I just think it's so entertaining and fun. So, you know, you have the Blues, you have the Cardinals, and hopefully MLS will come here, and hopefully Missouri football is going to right itself a little bit, and I guess, you know, the basketball team once it's, you know, and SLU. So there's a lot of great sports to cover here and around here. You guys have been here longer. Yeah. Would you agree?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's a great sports market. I mean, so many people grow up here and are just passionate about the teams throughout the area, but the city as well. So the Blues, you'll see it here in the next week and a half or so, Jesus, with the Blues. If the Blues can get past the first round, I think the city is going to be absolutely captivated by the NHL playoffs. And then, of course, that corresponds with the start of the Cardinals season. So April really is one of the best months for sports in St. Louis. So you're starting at a perfect time. The first column is on Sunday. It is in the Post-Dispatch. Of course, you can read it on stltoday.com. Our guest, Jesus Ortiz. Jesus, welcome to St. Louis. Thank you so much for joining us. We sincerely appreciate and look forward to reading your first column on Sunday in the Post-Dispatch.
Thanks, guys. Hey, can I plug my Twitter so I start gaining all the fans that I'm losing from Houston every time I tweet about St. Louis?
What is your Twitter handle?
At Ortiz Kicks.
Ortiz Kicks, Doug.
Yeah, and the Kicks is a you know, it's a way of me talking about, I'm a soccer guy.
Yeah.
So that's the Kicks. But so thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I didn't talk your heads off and you say I will never invite you back. Hopefully I get invited back.
We will look forward to having you on, especially after a couple weeks here in St. Louis, getting your feel for the first couple weeks, especially in a passionate month like the month of April around here, what we hope is the beginning of a long run for the Blues and the Cardinals turning it around. Jesus, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Jesus Ortiz with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Doug, golf's first major is right around the corner, and you can play one-week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Whether you're a master golfer that's ready to try a new fantasy sport, you can play one-week fantasy golf for free at DraftKings.com. Golf.com. Just pick six golfers before tee off, stay under the salary cap, and rack up points for streaks, per hole performance, tournament finishes, and more. Outscore the competition, and you could win with every tournament. DraftKings brings the excitement of the game to a whole new level with every monster drive and every made putt bringing you closer to victory. And DraftKings is more than fantasy golf. Choose from a variety of sports to showcase your winning skills. Millions of sports fans have already discovered DraftKings. Now it's your turn. This isn't fantasy as usual. This is DraftKings. I like that read. Watch this. This is DraftKings.
Very, very much so, Tim.
Fantasy golf contests begin when tournaments tee off. So you have less than 24 hours for golf's first major. Get to DraftKings.com and choose your golfers. Use promo code 920 and play for free. That's promo code 920 to play for free now only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Play for free. We have the email today coming up. It's a $20 gift card to Llewellyn's Pub. We will be at Llewellyn's on Monday for the Cardinals home opener. What will the Cardinals record be on Monday? Doug, go!
They will have played six games?
That's right.
I'll say they'll be 2-4.
I'm going to say 3-3.
Wow!
It's not really that dramatic. It's just one of the combinations that you get out of six games.
And okay, I'll tell you what. 5-1.
Oh! Well,
that's not one of the combinations available.
One of the games is, I believe it's being challenged.
That's correct.
Is it? Yep. And then what's your pick, Tim?
I'll go 2-4.
Tim, I think that's a good read.
Tim is not high on the ball.
Of course. When I said it, it was nothing. When Tim says it, boy, good pick. Boy, that's enlightening.
I'm big in the lesbian community.
I guess so. They throw hosannas at your feet.
Right.
I'll tell you what. This text line. Interesting.
This is no vile pictures today.
There's no vile pictures.
All you did was just ask for vile pictures inadvertently.
No, we don't need them. I'm just trying to...
Tony the Plow Dow is going to get active. Richard Pritchard?
No, I don't think they will. I'm just trying to find the positive. Sometimes the texters don't see the positive in situations.
Sometimes it's important to focus on the positive.
I think so.
Again, like the bullpen. Like Hazel Baker... Aledmys Diaz, great moments. Mm-hmm. Keep those baseballs, Doug, from your first base knock.
I got to be honest with you. I live bet the Pirates last night in the 11th. I got to be honest with you.
Did you? What'd you win on that?
I bet 75 to win like 60.
Well, that was an easy little 60 bucks.
It was. But I played an $82 tournament earlier in the night, and I busted out. Ah. I rivered a flush. He rivered a boat. He shipped. I tanked. I called. I lost. But I got it back, almost all of it back, when I live bet the Pirates.
Charlie, I bet the Pirates.
Do you call when you have the nut flush, but the board is paired and then he ships? Doug, what do? Do you call or do you fold?
Did the river pair the board?
River paired the board and it gave me the nut flush. I'm telling you, queen of hats, already a queen out there. I had the ace jack of hats. Plus, I had an up and down straight draw after the turn.
And he's betting strong the whole way because he has a set?
Check, check on the flop. He bet into me on the turn when he turned his... Turned his set. Well, he turned the set. He didn't flap the set.
All right, that's enough.
What?
All I ask is what you made on it. That's all. Crying out loud.
The summer wind comes blowing in. Where's it coming from? Across the...
From across the sea.
Is it from the east, though, Doug?
Fingers yeah. there to touch da, your da, hair. Da. Play with me. Da, da, ba, that was the chairman of the board, right?
Chairman of the board, sir.
So it's coming from the Atlantic.
Summer long.
I guess it is. I hadn't really thought about it.
Here come the pictures, Doug. You asked for them.
Well, I didn't ask for any pictures.
Hey.
There it is. And they're coming.
Oh, look, there's Mark McGuire's penis.
Yep.
You asked for it. You got it.
Wasn't
Toyota.
Okay, now I'm going
to... Anybody get that?
Doug?
Anybody get that?
I didn't.
What was it? Forget Paris? Billy Crystal?
Billy Crystal.
Was, the
was,
NBA,
was that Debbie Winger?
NBA referee.
Yep.
Really?
Maybe a 93?
I'm going to move some action on 95 for okay. Forget Paris. Doug, 95, what do you want to do?
I don't remember the dates, Tim. I don't know.
But you got it at a ballpark, so just...
I don't even have a ballpark. Saying that 96!
Okay. No, that was a horrible answer.
I think it might be 96. I'm going to put my action on 95, but I think 96 is in play.
And also there was the scene where Billy Crystal, he was refereeing the NBA game, and you had Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller shot a three. Billy Crystal raised his arms to say it was a three. And Reggie Miller gave him a high five.
That probably happened on Timberwolves Tuesday in Oakland. What a stunning win for Minnesota. Steph, let's right the ship. You know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I missed the game.
What do we have, Charlie, on the Forget Paris? Because a lot of the listeners are
I don't know if anybody said
94? 97?
95.
Oh, I said 95.
Oh, okay. 50% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Huh.
Roger Ebert gave him 3.5 stars.
You know what I watched?
IMDb 6.4 out of 10.
On my way down to Miami last week, on the flight, I watched Creed, and I thought it was outstanding.
I liked it.
I really enjoyed that movie.
I thought it was very good.
I haven't seen that film.
I will recommend it to you for real.
All right, Creed.
It's got like 90% on Rotten Tees, too.
Yeah, I thought it was a very entertaining movie, but after watching it, I understand why it didn't get all the Oscar love, because people were complaining that...
Because there were blacks in it.
Well, right. And I think Michael B. Jordan's a great actor. I didn't necessarily see
that. That girl was fine, too.
Very fine, very fine.
Fine.
But I didn't see that movie. It was a very entertaining movie. I just didn't think it was like a Best Picture quality type film, Doug.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen the picture.
I think you'll like it. You and John Vaughn ought to watch it.
It's a great family movie.
You ought to watch 7 straight Rockies.
I don't have time, fellas. I don't have time.
Came over here and said, I'm taking the weekend off. I'm going to watch 7 Rockies.
My time is largely taken up by a little lady. A little lady I call journalism.
What's the big story today?
Journalism.
Cardinals, what are they going to be able to salvage a game?
Well, that'll be a story. We got the Blues going on today, practicing, Chuck.
So you're
going
to say, hey, they practiced today.
Hey, the Blues are practicing. The Blues go up the ice, the Blues go down the ice. Ah, yes, the Blues.
Here's what the boys say about tomorrow's tilt up in Chi-Town.
That's right.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we got to get 2 points.
These last 2 games will be crucial to determine their playoff seeding. And then you go to a soundbite. They'll be in Chicago tomorrow night, and they'll close out against Washington. Go to a
on Saturday.
It'll be interesting to see what happens from here. Back to you, Steve.
There it is. There it is. And a lot of people go, man, did you guys get like masters?
Who says you don't need a degree
exactly.
for that?
Exactly. Thank you, Doug.
Not just anyone can do it, Chuck.
Michael's Flooring Outlet has 4 great locations to visit and a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. Now, what sets them apart right there? If I wouldn't have gone to Journalism Squad, I said, now what sets them apart? But I think it was Broadcast 105. They talked about voice inflection. Watch this. Right. Now, what's that set them apart? Now, what sets them apart right there?
You practiced it over the years.
Now, what sets them apart?
It's just good coaching is all it is.
You're like Mariah Carey. Hit all the notes.
A little bit. Now, what sets them apart is their employees. When you come in, they will ask the questions that others may not, and they'll try to find the perfect match instead of selling what they have overstocked. Michael's is great for everyone. Now, right there, they teach that.
Again, punch it up at the end.
I'm interested now.
Right, now you're
in. Tell me more.
Well, they're perfect for the do-it-yourselfers, Charlie, but also the contractors. There are so many things that go into the purchase. But go to the others and then come back to Michael's, and I know you'll see the difference. When you think of Michael's, you should think local. Michael's has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're in St. Charles County. They're in West County. They're in North County. They're in Darden Prairie. It is Michael's Flooring Outlet. Hey, you know what it's time for?
There's nothing more important in your house than flooring because, frankly, without it, you fall into the basement.
That's what happened to Steve Aoki's dad when he fell into your bathtub with you and bottomed.
Yes.
The Post, anything about? Do you know anything about the Post?
Nurse, hello.
Yes, hello, Posey.
Well, hello, friends. Yeah, we all know that
That's Western Illinois Broadcasting School.
That's how we start our broadcast team at WIU. But we all know about the famous cheesesteak from the Post being the official cheesesteak of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. What you may not know is there's 22 domestic draft specials every Cardinal game and Blues game. During Cardinal season, Cardinal ticket giveaways every Tuesday and Friday games, and 20% off your bill when you show your Cardinals ticket stub the day of said game. And when Grichuk hits a bomb, hopefully about 28 to 32, Doug, we'll get a free Redbird shot.
Did you say 30 to 32 yesterday, though? I think yesterday
I said
you
20,
said...
I think I said 30 to 32. So
you're already dropping him two taters?
2 rough games. Had to drop a couple home runs there. For 28 to 32 is what I'm guessing. Blues going into the playoffs, 22-ounce domestic draft special, blue ticket giveaways Thursday and Friday games. And when you bring in your ticket stub to that said game, 20% off your bill. ThePostSportsBar.com. Stay posted, my friends.
There is the Postmaster General. Doug, it's time for the email of the day. $20 gift certificate to Wellens. We'll broadcast on a Monday. Come on by. Get some brunch. Most burgers and fries they have there at the Wellens. Then take the trolley over to the ballpark.
Would make some sense.
Doug's my cherry pie, a ton of hot takes that he supplies. Twerks so good, makes a grown twink cry. Sweet Dougie pie. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sweet chippity-ba-ba-pie.
What kind of email is that now, really?
That's a tribute to Warrant. Now, they had Heaven, because we slow danced to that in 89 at St. Gabriel's, and I think we still played it in 1990.
They don't allow slow dancing in the grade schools, do they?
This was like at people's houses.
Oh.
In the basement.
Parents weren't
right.
home.
Right, and then we'd engage in heavy petting.
As a grade school kid?
Right. Well, it's South City.
Oh.
But Cherry Pie, I think, was on a different album, right?
I don't know, Tim. I don't. I just don't.
The famous music video. On, yeah, the second album.
Right. The follow-up to Heaven.
Oh, criminy. I have no idea.
And Doug, I'm pretty sure that album was critically acclaimed.
Right. It was very critically acclaimed.
But not as well received at the box office.
The critics panned it.
You know, they acclaimed it.
And yet listeners loved it.
It's St. Gabriel's because it led to heavy petting.
Okay.
My 8th grade girlfriend was fine. She's still fine.
What's her name?
I don't know. I just said.
Your 9th grade girlfriend?
8th grade. 9th grade. 9th grade girlfriend. You're looking at her.
Oh, you went to an all-boys school. There wasn't so much slow dance. Well, there was, but that's when you turned.
Thank you, Charlie. That's how good I am.
Are you still Facebook friends with your 8th grade girlfriend?
I am.
That's nice.
She don't live here no more, yo.
What's she doing now?
I don't know. Lives a few states over.
What about your 8th grade girlfriend, Doug, Agnes?
I just didn't really have a girlfriend in the 8th grade.
Oh, man, you were for the gays.
No, I just didn't have a girlfriend.
Guys, Plops here. First off, I heard about the voting places all being short on ballots and everything being screwed up. Tim, when did Inside STL take over running the voting places?
Wonderful.
Anyway, today was what AM Sports Talk Radio in St. Louis is all about. After another brutal Cardinal loss, I flip on my AM radio. I hear Charlie talking. Great. A gentleman who has had 2 radio shows of his own in the past 5 years, but those, how do we say, didn't resonate with anyone, so they went away. That's unfair. I didn't read this in advance. No. Why is Misty Plops going, that's
you
not fair.
You son of a.
I'll tell you what that's I'll do, fair. Chuck. I'll suspend him.
Defend me.
Misty Plops, you've been suspended.
It's just
not true. No,
it isn't. Defend my honor.
He's been suspended, Tim. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name is going into the handsome leather-bound Ragazzi's suspension logule. Ragazzi's large gluten-free menu there, Tim.
He's on today, and he's telling us about his night. He watched the game from the gym at his place of business while doing Pilates or something. He thought the game was really going to fall apart at one moment. It didn't, but later it fell apart. Thanks for the story. Then he listed pictures he likes. Again, I'm enjoying the show. Being in my car with the show on today was equivalent to being trapped on a school bus with an annoying third grade boy in a Cardinal jersey and a lunchbox full of baseball cards. Mm-hmm. Except who are we kidding? Charlie's lunchbox would be too weighed down with high calorie snacks to fit even a single baseball card. Misty Plops.
No, I agree.
Misty Plops.
Like an oatmeal cream pie.
Just all of a sudden pivoted.
Ding dongs.
I'm sorry you had to hear that email, Charlie.
Twinkies.
Doug, what's your favorite hostess?
Debbie's.
For part of my time in middle school, my lunch every day consisted of Hostess Twinkies, a Hostess Cherry Pie, and an ice cream bar. And my mother asked me one day, what'd you have for lunch? And I told her, and she was so hopping mad at me. And I don't think I've had a Twinkie since.
Also, Doug, a fudge round. Really good.
Fudge round.
Really good.
But I'm telling you, Bly was hopping mad.
Bly
was my mom.
Number 32, Rams Corner from, what, 98?
Dre Bly.
Right.
Yeah. This was Bly Vaughn. And I mean, she was seeing red. She was hopping mad that I was eating.
But her parents named her after Dre Bly because of the 99 Rams.
Well, she was considerably older than Dre Bly, so no.
I'm going to check on that. This is from Cucky the Dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
TMA, Bush Stadium Concert Edition. I found out what the big concert announcement at Bush is today. Get ready for it. It's the 2016 Tribbing Olympics. Yep, that's right. The events will include the slippery pole vault, where you take a 13-foot double-sided dilly to propel yourself up onto your partner in a scissor-like position. The Germans hold the world record. Watch out for the Brazilians in the shrub and shoot. They are the favorites to win gold. The Tribluge should be quite an event. 2 soft-skinned women locked at the pelvis travel down an icy chute at over 100 miles an hour. Me, oh my, look for the Swedes in this event. The closing ceremony will consist of 100 supple, voluptuous, hot women who look hot, writhing their muscular, oiled bodies together in a frenzy of love and sexual freedom. Okay. Trib on, ladies, trib on. Anyone want my tickets? I have a cuck appointment that day with Doug. That's from Tribby the Cuck. It's Cucky the Dwarf for reals.
Cucky the Dwarf for reals. Any good ones, Tim?
This show really kind of came off the rails.
Yes, it did.
Makes you say that. Guys, you'd have to think Paul McCartney prepares for a concert similarly to Joshua, as they're roughly the same age. 48 uninterrupted hours in a tanning bed, pre-show interview with Fat Buddha, studios, appearances on local PPAM radio show, and West County Mall teenage clothing store. That's right. He did make an appearance at a West County Mall teenage store. That's true.
Who did?
Joshua.
A paid appearance?
Yes.
Really?
I would do that if I got paid.
Just to show off what he was wearing? And it was to inspire other younger people to buy the same clothes?
How much did he get?
That happened?
It actually did happen because he wanted to come on the show to push it. As if, like, we have a large amount of 13-year-old females. We have 13-year-old males. Writes new ballad for the kids with assistance from older brother. Pumps self up backstage by flexing and shouting, they want me. They want me. Mm-hmm. That did happen. I witnessed it. I didn't see it with McCartney. So.
Okay.
Stage props include truck with handicap plates and scantily clad drug addicted dancers, Lil Baby and Tosh. Joshua and Paul McCartney tied for first. Doug, that's from the TFK. War Sir Paul playing both Hey Jude and Jude Who Says Hey. And that's what we have for the email TFK of the day. We had a little longer segment than we anticipated. Yeah. So we only have a few emails. What you got?
I'll go with a fellow by the name of TFK.
You sound like resigned.
Well, sort of.
I honestly didn't even really listen. I really didn't.
Why?
I just couldn't.
It doesn't matter because TFK was winning anyway. Congratulations to TFK. I think you're sideways with him over fantasy baseball, if I'm not mistaken. He sat up at Billy G's and heckled you when we did Billy G's.
Oh, that's TFK. Yeah, that's right.
I feel like this season of fantasy baseball is going to be more competitive. I just get the vibe.
I honestly think I'm the 72 Dolphins of fantasy baseball. I will not lose.
The Prime Tell Ministers what? Remain the team to beat this and every year, Chuck.
A couple of names you want to remember from yesterday. Noah Syndergaard and Scott Kazmir. Why don't you go ahead and look up a few box scores,
I'd like
buddy.
To have. Kazmir comes and goes.
Kazmir.
He had a good game.
Scoreless
yeah.
outing.
Okay, sure he did. But Syndergaard.
We're in
be the
Frank's
real thing.
Time. The Nancy's are arguing over fantasy baseball. All right, we got to shut it down. But what a show for the ages. Incredible.
Racket.
The Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and his legitimate radio program, which airs from 10 to noon. It's called The Hollywood Casino. Press back. It's time for us to shut it down. For Kyle, for the Plowboy, for the Seamus, for my brother Kevin, for Charlie Marlowe, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and inside of Steel. I'm live from Gateway Pew.